Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, coming up on this Black Friday edition. We keep looking everywhere. Where are the shoppers? What is going on? The art to shopping when you really don't want to be there at all. That's going to get into the conversation at some point. We're also going to take a look back at a triple header in the NFL, some weirdness in all three of those games. We're going to look into some predictions over the course of the weekend, shot callers, some over-unders. We're going to talk about the game. We got boots on the ground in Ann Arbor as Brady Quinn gets ready for a little big noon kickoff. Michigan, Ohio State, all of that and so much more on this three-hour extravaganza. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, the Black Friday edition, right here for you next here on FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Bit of a confusing NFL Thursday, Thanksgiving Thursday. We will get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Friday. It is a football Friday. It's a Black Friday. It's still a holiday weekend. Brady Quinn's fired up about it. LeVar Arrington's fired up about it. And we will take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific here on Fox Sports Radio. How we feeling on a Black Friday post-food coma?
Ooh.
I feel awful. I'll just be honest with you.
Do you really?
I ate way too much, man. Oh, way too much. Yeah, just a terrible feeling through and through. I didn't even have turkey. I did the baked mac and cheese. I had apple. I haven't had sweets in like a month. Had an apple pie. We had some pumpkin cheesecake. All Ooh. Of it. It was rough through and through, man. And I feel awful. I worked out this morning. I ran. I almost puked on the run because I could just feel the food hadn't totally digested. It is awful. Yeah, just gonna have to wear it.
Man, let me tell you, what a tough life you live. I went through a couple courses. Didn't feel great afterwards. I feel fine this morning, you know, like any other human being who eats food and then, you know, has to digest it the next day. I'm not sure where you're at on this, but.
Well, I mean, clearly something's going on there. It doesn't sound very quiet.
Football Friday. It's a football
it
Friday.
It is a football Friday.
It is.
We just wish we could hear you, Brady. That's the only thing. We could wish we could hear you on a football Friday. That would be the most important part of the important part of all of
us. I mean,
this.
I'm trying.
There it is.
There we go.
Are we good here?
There we go.
We're all turned up now. I don't eat a lot of that stuff that often, and so I'm just wearing it right now. And I'm,
I can see that.
We make it through the show without incident. That's all I'm saying. Just want to say.
Do you think you're going to have an incident?
Oh yeah.
You need your porta potty. No. I'm good.
Your kitty seat.
I think I'm good. Maybe a commode in studio. There it is.
Geez.
That is all a. Right. That, by the way, you could tell Roberto's still off for the holiday because he would have dropped the fart noise.
That would have been
his go-to. But how we feeling? Everybody good? Ready for an exciting weekend in the NFL and college football?
Well, it's already started, right?
Yeah.
The excitement has already started.
I don't know. There was one game that really bothered me last night.
Oh, I know
really
it did.
Really grinded my gears.
I'm sure it did. I'm assuming I know which one it was.
Okay. Well, which one do you think it is?
I'm assuming. I mean, I thought you were the one who said it was over for Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming. Here's the thing: your assumption's
wrong that I give a crap about that.
I've
been trying to explain to LeVar now for 6 months.
He's busy.
No, it's because of 28 penalties. I don't care which side of the fence you're on because each team had 14. But when you're talking about, what was it for Dallas, 166 yards in penalties?
That's nothing. Yeah,
dude, get out of the game. Like, I'm saying this from a Cowboys fan standpoint, from a Raiders fan standpoint, stop. And the truth is, look, you probably could have thrown a few more. The Dak Prescott throw to Noah Brown when he was pushed out of the pocket to the right, it was a little bit off and behind, a throw he's got to make. Terrence Steele should have been called for holding. He wasn't. So I get every single play. You could probably throw a flag. That doesn't mean you should. I mean, especially like, look, the Anthony Brown game was awful. Absolutely awful. For those who don't know, that the Dallas Cowboys cornerback had four pass interference penalties, which obviously led to a spot foul first down, and ultimately at the end of the game in overtime, the game winner. Yeah.
By the way,
I thought that was the most questionable one of all of them, by the way.
How much of that 160 whatever was on him just in PI calls?
That play alone was, what, 33 yards?
So is that one of those ones you guys talk about where they're going over in slow motion with the clicker on the film? Like, this is what you don't do. You got to adjust to this.
I think you just got to tell them at some point, let them run. Don't touch them. Like, try to be the best person that you can be in coverage without touching them beyond 5 yards.
The ball was underthrown.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it wasn't a good football. They kind of bailed out Derek Carr on that play.
Yeah. That was a few times.
Yeah.
It was a few times. And that's, you know, the interesting thing is I'll take the other side of it. I do agree. And it's so funny because I when I was calling the Cleveland-Detroit game, it was like bad teams make a ton of unforced errors. That's what they do. You get penalties that cost you. You make mistakes in execution that cost you. We saw both teams.
Is Dallas a bad football team, though?
That becomes a question. I know. And that's what makes me – like. Are they a 7-4? And this is what question I left the game asking myself: is this NFC East leading team a 7-4 elite team, or is it a 7-4 team because the NFC really isn't that good? You know,
I think we've known that for years now.
Well, so here's the thought: like, coming out of that game, Oakland was the better team.
Vegas.
Excuse me. Why do I keep wanting to call him Oakland?
You call him the Sudan. Who cares?
You know, to be honest with you, I mean, yeah, okay. Well, Vegas, the Vegas Raiders, Vegas Raiders, they were the better team in that game. And however we want to slice it up, I don't think they ever led, if I recall. Like, I don't think they ever even led one time in the game.
I don't think Dallas led. I don't think they did.
So then you got to ask yourself the question: if you're looking at the Vegas Rams as a team that almost
did they score the first touchdown?
Well, no, I think the Raiders went up early, and then Dallas tied it, and then the Raiders.
No, they didn't tie it, right? Are we saying Dallas or the Raiders? Which perspective are you talking from?
I'm saying Dallas never led in the game.
Oh, gotcha.
I believe Dallas never led in the game.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the idea of it is. They definitively proved that they were the better team in the game. And if we're looking at the Raiders as a team that was on the cusp of basically falling off the cliff and what is still perceivably now with the emergence of the Chiefs doing what they needed to do, you're still talking about a super competitive AFC West. Why is it? And it's funny because coming into the game, Dallas did not have success, has not had success against AFC West teams. So is there a mental block there where you just don't want to play against AFC West teams if you're McCarthy and the rest of the coaching staff? Or is this a situation where you have to ask yourself, should we be looking at Dallas as an elite team? That's what I came away asking myself.
I don't know what to make of Dallas. I really don't, because I was all in on them. I think, you know, Brady wanted me to say last week was a Super Bowl preview between them and the Chiefs. I didn't want to do it, but he took. I don't know. It's more fun to blame you than blame myself.
Did you get that report
from
Patch.com?
That was a possibility. But let's be honest.
Patch.com,
but come on now,
VIP access.
I know that. I don't know which one of you guys did say that, but
I did.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Figured.
Figures. Just by default,
right,
going
to be. But hold on. But here, to your defense, we didn't come out of the Tampa Bay, and I know this was early first game, but we didn't come out of the Tampa Bay game feeling as though you wouldn't be able to say, this is an NFC championship preview. You know, we'll see you again. Like, we didn't feel that way. And in certain games, we have not felt that way about Dallas. But after this game, There was no way you could sit there and come away from that game and be like, you know what? Dallas lost the game, but, man, they sure are good. It just seems as though they're having some tremendous struggles on offense. And I don't understand why it's so hard for them to be able to score. Now, they made it to 30 points, but, man, you're talking about a snail's pace to try to get to that 30-point mark. It didn't look good. It didn't feel good. And if I were a Dallas fan, I would be questioning and wondering, why is it that our offense isn't more potent than what it is?
They missed CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they clearly missed CeeDee Lamb, some of that
and Amari Cooper
ability. And Amari Cooper as well. Like, those two, they really missed. I mean, I just think they're more consistent pass catchers. They're better getting yards after the catch. That was somewhat evident. I mean, when Dalton Schultz starts to be a more reliable, you know, receiver at times, you know, Gallup had a nice, catch down the stretch. But I feel like those two guys would have made a big-time difference. So I'm not, like, riding the ship on this team. The NFC East is terrible. The Cowboys are still going to win it. They're 7-4. The more interesting thing is really with the Raiders now and DeSean Jackson, who's he's so much fun to watch, man. Like, his entire career has been built up on, like, just highlight reel plays. It is amazing. How old is he now? And he's still catching these, like, 50-yard plus bombs.
He's just always going to run a sub 540, right? Even at like 75 years old.
I mean, Daryl Green runs a sub 440 now.
Like it's still lasts. Like the guy still gets open. He still finds a way to beat coverage. He is, man.
And he's comfortable. And he's comfortable against teams like Dallas. You know, teams like the Eagles, teams like the Washington football team. Yeah, he's comfortable against them.
He used to eat up that division pretty good.
He's been accustomed. He played on Washington at one point too, right?
Yes, he
Washington,
did.
Philly. I mean, he might as well just play for the Giants before he
might as well made his rounds through the entire cycle.
Now you mentioned obviously the penalties and all that. Jerry Jones, you know, always wanted to find a microphone after a game or before a game or twice during the week on radio. He spoke about the game following the loss.
Oakland took advantage of the situation. I call it throw up ball, right way to play at a game like this, just throw it out there and get a penalty. That's it.
166 yards of penalties, yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, this will probably be arguably the most watched game other than the Super Bowl, and I hate it that it got down to just throwing the ball out there and getting the penalties to get your big plays.
Now, here's the good news.
By the way, he's not
get
wrong.
Fined for stuff
not
like that,
not
though.
One thing he said was wrong.
100%. But here's the good news. If you want the penalties to start to go away a little bit and you want things to change, all you have to do is get Jerry Jones to act on it or speak on it, because that's how things get changed. How did the stadium deal get done in L.A.?
Jerry Jones.
Yeah, they might have screwed some people over in St. Louis, but never mind all that. You know, $790 million, a little hush money, and we're all good here. You want something changed, Jerry Jones is the guy to get it changed, and I'm curious to see if they start letting some of this stuff go.
But you do understand that players get fined for doing what Jerry Jones just did in his soundbite.
Well, now they won't have to. We were good.
Still got to fine guys.
Well, that's so how does this play maybe out? They will. Maybe they'll find the organization. Look, the Anthony Brown plays. That's something that I'm not like being disparaging about him talking about his play. He might get cut. Like that's the type of stuff when that happens. You look at a guy like that in the team meetings the next day, and you're just like, man, every team's going to throw at him from here on out. And not that they didn't already throw at him in general. I think once Trayvon Diggs got off to that good start, you know, then people maybe started to shy away a little bit and throw more Anthony Brown's way. But, I mean, it's one of those deals where I would not be shocked either if they just didn't put him out there or if there wasn't something else that came from that. And it's not that he's not going to find a job elsewhere. He can't play in the NFL. That is one of those glaring weaknesses, break in the chain, that every team's going to say, third down, critical situation, who do we go after? We're going after Anthony Brown.
Especially on that stage, right? I mean,
yes.
Oh, man.
Well, that stage yesterday, but I'm saying moving forward.
Yeah.
That's their problem, is moving forward now, they got to make a decision and they got to make a change because there's blood in the water and the Sharks are coming. Every quarterback they see, every OC that it starts to scheme against them is going to try to isolate him and try to get him in a compromising spot.
God, That's rough. Well, listen, happy Thanksgiving anyways. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up next here on FSR, we had a projection. I'm not going to, you know, we're not here to call anybody out on this show, but somebody was really high on a team, and that team did not look very good yesterday. We'll get into all of that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Damn straight.
Mr. Jonas.
Yeah. Oh, what are you?
Jonas.
Why am I the Grinch?
Why wouldn't you be the Grinch?
Yeah, look, you're allowed to celebrate Christmas now.
Mr. Jonas.
Just need to get through the holidays. The Thanksgiving holiday. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here at Fox Sports Radio. If you listen to the podcast, you can't hear it, but it is Christmas music season here at FSR, which always, you know.
I don't like Christmas music.
No, I like Christmas music.
No, hold on.
Get away from my friend.
Can we acknowledge that he went for an entire week, all right, proclaiming that Thanksgiving always gets overlooked and we shouldn't move on too fast? It is. I mean, it's not even, what, 6 hours past midnight on the East Coast.
Coffin closed, homeboy. Hits midnight, that's a wrap.
You're the worst.
Now we're ready
to go.
Absolute worst. Listen, I'm giving you guys approval. You finally have my approval. You can start putting up the Christmas lights, all right? Enough of these line cutters, all right? Now people can celebrate, and they're celebrating with some great Christmas music, man. Lead the lap, the executive producer of this fine program. He agrees.
Absolutely. You can go stand in line for Black Friday and listen to your.
Cool. No one wants to stand in line now.
Yeah.
Everyone shops online. Let's be real. You know what, Jonas, this reminds me of?
What's
is
that?
The flights that I took last night. Because they stunk.
Oh, you had to take connectors?
Well, that, but it was more, they literally stunk. Everyone was loaded up from Thanksgiving, just absolutely letting it rip. Because, look, you've got plausible deniability. Everyone's wearing a mask now. No one knows who the hell and what they're doing right now.
It's great, man. I wonder what's happened to, you know, mouthwash sales, gum sales, deodorant, and cologne sales.
Jeez.
Since the pandemic. Seriously,
so
because
you're saying self-care is like at an all-time Kevin Durant.
I think cosmetics were down.
He'll hear this.
Yeah, he does. Listen, he hears and listens to everything. But
your leg was ass-shaking. From your boy. This is coming from your boy. Man.
Yeah, that's, you know, it happened. So were people getting after it in the airport? I've never flown on Thanksgiving.
No. Yeah. This is you always thinking everyone in the airport's a drunk.
I don't know.
Starters,
I'm asking, why can't
it's
I ask
Thanksgiving.
A question and
not get Nothing's
attacked.
Open. No one's around except the people you're flying on the plane with. And when I sit there at the gate and I look at everyone, I'm thinking to myself, all these people, they're just full of gas. They're full of turkey, mashed potatoes, a green bean casserole, probably some pumpkin pie or something, you know, cranberries. I mean, they're full. They're literally sitting there like a ticking time bomb, ready to release a biggest gas bomb onto the plane. Think of that. No one's going to smell it.
Okay.
No one's going to smell it.
And you do. You can.
It wafts through the mask.
I realized that last weekend. You can, especially if it's too much. If there's too much going on, you can smell it. People, if you're out there and you're thinking what Mr. Brady just said to you isn't like accurate, please be mindful of the fact there's only certain masks that really, really kind of muffle the violence and the turbulence of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Some allow it in. You know, some of these masks actually allow the product that you created, it allows it in. And it's not a good experience when it starts. And you know what? When you use one that has fabric, it actually gets caught into
mask. Come on. Jesus.
Yeah, I had to switch. I had to switch.
You're telling me there's fart particles.
Yes.
In the mask.
No.
Yes. But that's on the outside. That's on the outside.
It gets caught in the fabric, and then I had to take it off and
So you're saying there's tiny fart particles in the mask?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Those fart smell particles will latch on to your mask if it's like a like a shirt, like a T-shirt fabric.
Oh, okay.
You got to take it off, and then you got to put on a real mask, like the
That's just gross, man.
You got to put on a professional mask in order to be able to enjoy your flight. Otherwise, you're smelling it, and it stays.
Listen, I haven't been on a plane since Super Bowl in Miami.
He's going to tell you about his experience last time he was on.
No.
It's been 2 years ago. Don't worry. What do you got?
Well, no, what I was going to say is, I don't know what the airport or planes are like nowadays, so I can't really speak on the subject.
COVID.
Yeah, before COVID. I can't really speak on the subject.
I remember actually being down there with you, and that was when it first hit. And you had heard about it like in other countries, but not in the U.S. yet. And it was just like, interesting timing. This Super Bowl is going to get off without any hitch. And then right after, everything's going to shut down.
Oh, by the way, I wonder if Radio Row is ever going to be the same again in Super Bowls after
I wouldn't miss it.
That was kind of a crazy
scene. It's not the same, though. I'm just saying, I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy scene. There's so many people packed into a place. It's like sardines.
I kind of enjoyed it, actually.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people there, man.
I'm a people watcher, so the more the better. you're talking to somebody. I did social norm experiments.
What?
There we go.
Let's speak
for a living. Social norm experiment where I would sit and watch people and see what they would do. Like you'd see people touching the rails on the walkways, you know, like there's like a gazillion.
Is this for school or are you saying you did this like the other week?
No. But here's the thing. I did it in school, but ever since I did it, I found it to be so interesting and intriguing that I'll do it the past time.
People watching. You just people watch.
I people watch like Brady. I've seen people dig in their butt and then scratch their face.
Oh, no.
Or grab their loved one's hand.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see a little kid. They'll like crawl all on the floor, and then they'll touch the escalator handle. And then
I get
start
that.
Putting
they're
their
kid,
hands in their
better.
Mouth.
Ugh.
Right. But the parents do. And then they'll start putting their hands in their mouths. I don't judge. I really don't judge. I just watch. And it's like, man, I wonder how many germs that kid just ate. You know, stuff like – but that's the weirdness of what I do. Like, I pay attention to, like, the weirdest things instead of, like, being in my phone or stuff. And then I'll take it a step further. I'll try to figure out what their profession is. So every once in a while, I'll randomly ask, like, what do you do for a living? And I'll, like, you know, I'll guess, like, teacher or, you know, truck driver or something like that. And I rarely ever get it correct. Well, I mean, some of them look like teachers. Some of them look like truck drivers. Just giving an example. But I'm never right.
By the way, shout out to the truck drivers who this is going to be, if you're delivering stuff.
Busy season.
Yeah, this is not a fun time.
We appreciate you, man.
Yes.
You know what? You are helping out Santa Claus, and we appreciate you.
Damn right.
There's some of y'all out there that got to push. Because some of these ports, you know, it's real in the field right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff being delayed, so hopefully everybody gets their gifts on time. And maybe this will spark up a busier Black Friday because people don't want to wait around for stuff to get delivered, so they just want to go buy it themselves.
It was a Black Thursday for the Saints, I'll tell you that.
Definitely. Look at him.
Nice transition. Well done.
That is well done. And it was a Black Thursday for one team in the NFL. We're going to get to that team in the NFL coming up next. By the way, coming up in about 15 minutes now, we're going to have another edition of Shot Callers. Got to make some predictions. Got to call our shot for the weekend. I tried to call one last night. Didn't go well. Cowboys money line live bet.
Knox locks, though. Yeah, Knox locks.
We forget about the losses. We focus on the positive stuff here.
A lot of losses. A lot of dead bodies.
Not all
haters here, like Brady. Speaking of a bad situation, the New Orleans Saints have got an issue at quarterback.
Why was Taysom Hill not starting?
I don't know.
I don't get this. You just signed him to an extension, to a deal. You've got Simeon in there who got there, during the season? I mean, they drafted Ian Book, my guy at Notre Dame. Give him a shot. If you don't want to give Taysom Hill a shot, give Ian Book a shot. We know what Trevor Siemian is.
Yeah.
I don't get this. I think by the way, they're banged up. I get that. Ingram was out. Kamara was out. I mean, a bunch of Marcus Davenport on defense was out. A bunch of guys out. Troutman was out at the tight end spot. But we know what Trevor Siemian is. We know what he is. We might have a pretty good idea of what Taysom Hill is, but this team lacks any sort of explosiveness. You got to put Taysom Hill at quarterback, or at least give Ian Book a chance to see what he is. This isn't a winning formula right now with Trevor Siemian. I'm sorry, as good of a coach as Sean Payton is, they went with him.
And it wasn't like Buffalo played outstanding. It wasn't like, oh, this is like that game. If there's another guy under center,
they were terrible in the first half.
Like you would think if there was somebody else under center, it would give them a better chance to win the game. Like I actually watched the game thinking, man, Taysom Hill actually would give them a better chance at winning that game.
Like, well, I just kept showing him on the sidelines, looking at his wristband.
Well, you know, they don't want to give him too many reps because they got to end up paying him. I mean, they're trying to protect.
It's not their reps, investment. It's pass attempts.
You know that too. But Ian Book would be fine. That would be a lot of fun. But it just feels like they're still searching for a quarterback. I think they're probably going to be one of these teams in the offseason that might be in the market for maybe one of these big free quarterbacks that are looking to get dealt. Whatever the case may be, they're clearly lacking at quarterback. Defense seems like they're playing hard. They are banged up, but man, that did not look good last night. That was a bad spot.
Were able to establish the running game. You know, you think about it, Singletary only ended up with 44 yards on 15 carries. It's funny because one of the prop bets was, would Josh Allen lead the game in rushing, and he was 1 yard away from doing so. Doing 2 yards, really, he would have tied if Singletary with one. But That always plays a key. I think as much as the running game and running backs have been kind of marginalized in today's football and today's NFL especially, there's still something to be said about establishing the run. That was an ugly game, right? Like, if you think about it, they went into the halftime, it was 10-0. So you're blanked if you're the Saints and you scored a touchdown in the first quarter and was only able to muster 3 in the second. So it was a defensive battle, which I have no problem watching games that, you know, defensively, you know, it shows something and it has its own entertainment value to it. But this to me was more so, again, kind of along the lines of what you guys are speaking on, in terms of figuring out what guys like Taysom Hill can do. Could he have provided a spark that gave you, say, more than 0 points? You know what I mean? So in the end, you know, there are a lot of injuries and a lot of guys that were out. But, you know, they were not able to get into the end zone. This is a big game, a pivotal game for both teams in a lot of ways, being where they are in the season, it being a primetime game. And that's just one of those games where if you're Sean Payton, you got to be asking yourself, even if you get your guys back healthy as you move forward, what is the right decision for you in terms of, you mentioned formula or process, what is the right process, what is the right formula on offense? Because I don't know that currently what we watched yesterday, well, I do know, That won't work.
Even that ain't if you it. Get those, just say yeah, it. That ain't it.
Those, even if you get those guys back, that ain't it. So, yeah, I don't know.
They are devoid right now of any sort of explosiveness. And look, again, not disparaging Trevor Siemian, you kind of know what he is. Like, do you remember when he was quarterbacking in there for the Broncos?
Yes.
They had an unbelievable defense. They had all these pieces around him. And it was like, yeah, but he's not going to be able to lead you to the promised land. Like, he just doesn't really have the ability, doesn't have the arm. He's in a position where he comes in as a backup, can get you out of a game or help you for a week or two. This is not the position you want to be in trying to go on a playoff run with Trevor Siemian. I'm sorry. I know he's smart. I know he knows the playbook. I get all that. He's a good guy. But that's not going to help any upside for you. You might as well give Ian Book a shot. He's got some scrambling ability. He can take off and do something if there's protection issues, which there has been because their O-line's been banged up. Or put Taysom Hill in and start going with more of that Wildcat-style offense. You got to do something different. Otherwise, this season's fallen by the wayside. And I also think there's a narrative here, Jonas, where when you think about how Sean Payton, I think post-Drew Brees, was like, no, I want to prove to everyone, like, I can make Jameis Winston the guy, or I can make Taysom Hill a quarterback. Like, I think he wants to prove that to everyone. I think he's now learning, like, Yeah, that might take a while. Like that may be a little more difficult than you imagine. You may want to go get a veteran like Aaron Rodgers, a veteran like a Russell Wilson, a Deshaun Watson if he wants to, you know, come to New Orleans, even though it's not in his trade request, whatever he's putting.
And that was my thought as well too. Listen, he's obviously got an ego. He wants to show that he can make this work. It's why he's wanted to try, to your point, make it work with Taysom Hill. So if that's the case, throw Ian Book in there. Like show that you can develop Ian Book into a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. Why not? I mean, look, their season's done. They're not going to the playoffs. Like, it's not happening. They don't have the quarterback. You can look at some games down the stretch. They've got tough games. They've got Dallas, who's going to be pissed off about how things went. They're going to be at Tampa. Geez. Miami's playing better.
A pissed off Dallas team that's still going to get road gridded.
Well, yeah, so, probably. But I just think at some point, why not? Like, Sean Payton's job isn't in jeopardy. Like, he's one of the coaches you look at and go, we definitely don't have to worry about him being on the hot seat. Why not try some things? Like, see what you got moving forward into the future. And so if it means throwing Ian Book in there, let's do it.
You know what he needs? He needs some of that psychedelic toad venom that Mike Tyson's on. Expand his mind, you know?
Bet your ass, man.
Open some things up. Offense.
We are the psychedelic toad venom of sports talk radio. Yeah. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on FSR. Lamar Angton. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, coming up next.
I
unbelievable.
What toad venom really is all about.
I have no idea.
Somebody send it to the studio.
Please don't. Actually, we're good on that.
Yeah, they really might do it.
They really will. All right, coming up next, we are going to make some predictions. We are going to call our shots for a busy weekend in the world of football and beyond. It's yours right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now, we got boots on the ground. I think one of the great traditions in all of sports. We are going to get into that and take a closer look at the game. The game coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. So we do a little something on the show. It's called Shot Callers, where we've got to make some predictions, for the upcoming weekend in the world of sports and, lead the lap. But before we get into this week's edition, just curious, this obviously doesn't serve my self-interest or, benefit me at all. But how did last week go? What were the picks from last week? Just wondering.
Well, LeVar was very bullish on Michigan State giving Day his first loss of the season.
his first Big Ten loss, period.
Bro, when he said that, I was like, oh, God, this is good.
I mean, everybody expected them to lose, so if they would have won, I look like a genius. I mean, I could look like a buffoon.
What a shot call.
I took a chance,
I think we're talking about, like, helping people make money, like giving them, like, a guaranteed win.
I'll let you do that.
I don't think I did that last week.
Well, Brady did guarantee that everyone should put their money in on the Titans over the Texans, so that didn't pan out either.
That didn't help either.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is that a worse loss than Michigan State to Ohio State? I think it is.
Absolutely.
Is
it?
At least you knew not to put your money down on what I said. I mean, Brady had you convinced.
Well, the difference is someone else put some money down on Mel Tucker before that game. So that's a whole lot. I don't know. I think it might be a little worse.
Yeah, buyer's remorse. Sorry. Was there another pick? Did anybody have another pick?
I think somebody picked Oklahoma over Iowa State there.
Oh, you're right.
Was that you, Jones?
Yeah, hey, listen, it's what I do. You just handed out winners.
Was that even controversial?
Well, yeah, because remember we were talking about Matt Campbell and the betting line was, I think, 3.5.
Oh, okay. I've got mine then. Yeah, I've got mine then.
The betting line was 3.5.
How was the cooking at the Knox house, Lee Delap. How was that? Was it good?
Lee's not in my back pocket.
I was asking Lee, how was the dinner? Was it good, man? How was the turkey? Was it fried?
Lee, answer the way I tell you to answer it.
Delicious as always.
There you go. Yeah, all right.
Good man, Lee. All right, here's a
dessert. Dessert was good.
It's right under here. Come get it when you want it.
Oh, wow. It's right under there.
You're unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I get it, John. Now it makes more sense, Lee.
All right.
Now it makes
more sense.
He is
not in my back pocket.
Okay.
But he very
Maybe
well could
he's
be.
In their front. No, I don't know.
Never know. It is time for this week's edition of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, come on.
Make the call.
Where am I anyway?
It's Sunday Shot Callers.
All right, Lee, so which way we want to go? How do we want to start this thing?
Well, I think winners should start first. How about you, Jonas?
I think that's a very good point.
You're a winner. I think
that is a very good point, Lee. And I'm going to go straight to somebody who I know is going to come back ready to rock, ready to fire away and make an example out of a division rival. And that somebody is the Baltimore Ravens, a 3.5-point favorite on Sunday Night Football, hosting the Cleveland Browns. I think Cleveland's got some problems. I think Lamar Jackson comes back after being sick last week. I think they come out guns blazing, and I like Baltimore in a rout on Sunday Night Football.
Wow,
yep.
A rout.
Rout.
Of all things.
Call it.
Man, how about this one? I've got Green Bay, who's a home underdog to the Los Angeles Rams at this moment. I think COVID toe, turf toe, broken toe, whatever it is, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers don't just cover, they outright win. Take it to the bank with that one.
I thought you were going to go in a direction with the toe names that we were going to get into some trouble for. But listen, you're a broadcast professional. Why would you do that? You know.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to my best. I wanted to make sure I gave LeVar time.
Yeah.
And then also that good. I didn't, you know, to corner him with some weird toe thing he's going to follow.
Well, speaking of toes.
Oh, no.
I think that Tennessee is going to give their toe to New England. So not only am I giving them the points in terms of making the 6.5, winning, losing by 6, they're going to win outright. And they're not going to need the points. I think they're going to bring New England back down to earth for a little bit, at least for a weekend.
Are you surprised that line is where it's at? That one surprises me, that New England's a 7-point favorite against Tennessee.
It's because they've seen Bill Belichick versus Ryan Tannehill in the past and how it's worked out. I think that's what that's about.
That's a lot of respect.
I think they're going to do some bully ball against them babies, and they're going to have to reevaluate after this game.
New
My
England or,
estimation.
Or so you think?
And
New
I gave
England's
a real. This was a real pick this week, people. Just so you know, I'm not on Michigan State stuff. This was a real one. I really put some thought into this one.
Yeah, take it to the bank.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.